Hey, this is Steve Nash. You're listening to CITR 101.9, the home of the UBC Thunderbirds.
Welcome to Wiener's Barbecue here on 101.9 FM, CITR Radio, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. Well, there's a lot going on in this room right now. You know, I like to be... Are we having a party? Are we getting down and to business? Do we have drinks?
Pass the hot dogs.
Do we have hot dogs? That's right, everybody. What do you like on your hot dog?
Coleslaw.
Coleslaw on the hot dog. That doesn't make a lick of sense. Anyways, folks, on Wiener's Barbecue today, as we're in our UBC Thunderbird Sports Edition right now, where is he? Mikey Wall, the play-by-play announcer for the UBC Thunderbird men's hockey team right here at CITR Radio. Our first UBC Thunderbirds men's hockey broadcast will be this Friday at 7 o'clock p.m. Is that how you say it? At 7 p.m., 7:10 p.m. So, Mikey, you said you were going to be here. I'm waiting for him. Mikey Wall is going to be with us to talk about the UBC men's hockey team and what we're looking at for them this season. 36 years it has been for the UBC Thunderbird men's hockey team where they haven't won a playoff series. And for the last longest time, since I've been following this league, it's been six teams make it, okay? You know, three plays six, four plays five, one and two get a bye to the second round, and UBC has not even been able to make it to the second round. So, you know, 36 years, Milan Dragicevic. I talked to him earlier today. He told me we're looking to win a playoff series this year. We're looking to get home ice. But we're also looking to win a playoff series this year. So Mikey Wall, wherever he is, wherever he shall be, will be with us. Also on our UBC Sports edition of the show, Blake Smeltzer, quarterback for the UBC Thunderbird men's football team as Schrumbull 29 is this weekend. UBC coming off a, can you say exciting, 60-48 win versus Regina. That crazy, wacky, exciting, however you want to put it. Blake Smeltzer. Who threw for 392 yards, four touchdowns on the weekend. Blake's going to be with us, and here he is. He made it. Mikey Wall. Mikey, you got to go find headphones.
All right.
You got to go check the room over there. Go find headphones. And if you're willing to stick with us till 5 o'clock, we're going to have at the 5 o'clock hour to talk hockey. As the Vancouver Canucks and the whole NHL get underway on tomorrow, the Canucks will play on Thursday. Former Vancouver Canuck Cliff Ronning will be with us for 5 o'clock. At 5:15, Julio Caravato will be with us to talk a little CFL football. I got a guy, Bill Plunkett. Is that his name? From the Orange County Register. Doesn't sound like it's his real name. Bill Plunkett from the Orange County Register. He's going to be previewing the series to follow, the thing to follow in sports right now is the Los Angeles Dodgers and the New York Mets. That's what's to be followed right now. Is that mic three, we'll call it? Talk.
Hello.
Hey, I got
there
you.
There I am.
Hold on. I got to finish off, Mikey.
No problem.
And then BJ Bass, your friend and mine, will be with us at 5:45 to talk NFL football.
Wonderful.
Shana Tova.
Likewise.
Shana Tova.
How was the fast?
You know, well, I got my stomach condition.
Yes.
So I had a can of Ensure chocolate, regular flavored, of course. For breakfast, I had one can, 250 calories for breakfast, and one can for lunch. That's all I did.
Which was a little bit of a, which was still a fast for you.
That's as good as I will ever do.
Well, that's fantastic.
And you, how was your fast?
I had a couple study snacks.
Nice.
You know, you have to.
Yeah, got it.
You know, I had a couple pieces of fruit, which, you know, I don't, my body doesn't see very often. So that was nice, a little bit of a shock to the system.
Very good, very good. So, and synagogue.
Well, I didn't quite make it.
Either night?
I actually made it to the final moments last night with my grandmother.
Okay.
So that was a touching moment for me, so, and for her. So, you know, I picked my spots this year.
A touching moment.
Yes, it was.
The cameras were loving it. And you're an Orthodox synagogue goer.
Apparently. That's what I am.
That's what you are. So, for those of you that don't know, Mikey and I are reminiscing about Yom Kippur.
Of course. A lovely day yesterday it was, Yom Kippur.
The new year. And, anything else new and exciting?
No, that's about it.
It is, though, and I got to do it at 5 o'clock. For me, I think right now, for me, is the best time of the year for sports.
You know what? Actually, there is something new and exciting, which I was reminded of on my way in. There is a fantastic event out here at UBC. And you know what? I have the date in my bag. I'll pull it out in a sec. It is a fantastic football match.
The nurses?
The nurses against the rehab students. It's called the Teacup Challenge, and I saw it last year. Of course, I'm a physio student, so I cheer on the rehab department, and they have won several years in a row now, and it is an amazing event. And I'll just get the date for you before I leave here, but you should all come out and watch. Well, you can go watch them practice right now out on, I think it's Osborne Field outside the SRC. Fantastic event, Daryl. We should call it this year.
When is it?
I told you, I'll find it. Do you want me to find it right now?
Find out right now. So, and only girls are allowed to play? Is that the...
That's right. It's all female, and they borrow full equipment from a couple of the junior or high school teams around town, and it's absolutely full contact, and unbelievable hitting last year. You wouldn't believe it. Like... Just shocking.
How many players they got? They have like the full line set up?
Yeah, they have the full line set up. The only thing they don't do is punt. Okay. I think they get, I think on fourth down, they claim to punt, and then they move the ball 30 yards up the field, and then they change possession. So, because they don't have time to practice special teams and everything
Damn
like
straight.
That. So they
Damn
do an
straight.
Offense, a defense, and that's about it.
Mikey's pulling out his book right now. Well, Michael.
Got it in here somewhere. And I have raffle tickets for it as well, if anyone's interested. The draw, well, this doesn't help now, does it? The draw is November 1st, but I'm pretty sure the game is before that. So, you know what, Daryl? I'm going to have to figure it out.
All right, we'll get to it.
Yeah.
We'll get to it. Also, I have to give away, Mike, sometime during the hour, Loud, Quiet, Loud. It's the film about the Pixies at the 25th Annual Vancouver International Film Festival. These are good for Thursday, October 5th, 9:45 at the Granville 7 Theater 2. So I got four of those. It's about the reunion of the Pixies.
Wow. You're not using all four of those, Daryl?
No, I doubt it.
No.
I doubt it. It's for this Thursday, October 5th. So, yeah, there you go.
Good.
Exciting prizes. Anyways, Michael, we're here to talk UBC hockey.
Yes, we are.
As the UBC Thunderbird men's hockey team will get their season underway this Friday and Saturday versus the Saskatchewan Huskies at South Surrey Arena.
Yes, Daryl. It's a home game out in South Surrey Arena, which I'm thrilled about because I have class till 4:30 on Friday, and then I got to make it out to Surrey by 7:15. I'm not sure if that's actually possible on a Friday afternoon.
And set up the equipment. And find your way around the arena, find the phone line.
Well, of course, that massive construction project out where the old rink used to be is the building of the new Olympic rink, which is going to be finished hopefully by the beginning of next season. So this year, UBC doesn't have a home rink. So what they've done, instead of just playing at one rink all their home games, which actually they couldn't do because no, I don't think anyone wanted them there every Friday and Saturday night for 5 months or for 4 months, but they have actually... they're actually playing games at various places around the Lower Mainland. They're playing in Surrey. They're playing in Whistler. They're playing in Burnaby, Richmond, and they're playing four games at GM Place as well. And they're working on some sort of event there in collaboration with the Canucks.
Which we will be there for.
We will be there for all four of those games.
We will be there for. So, Mike, UBC Thunderbird Hockey, though, it's 36 years. 36 years without winning a playoff series.
That's right.
That's the stat I've got, and I don't know why. Should we put him on the air?
Who is this?
I don't know. It's a caller. I'm not expecting anybody.
Well, let's see who it is. All right, we have a caller.
We have a caller. Yeah, what do you want?
Le Canadien, yeah, Le Canadien, yeah. Come on, man.
It's a song I'll play.
Yes.
The Montreal, have you ever heard it?
Yeah, I have heard
that. It's that Montreal Canadiens theme song.
Yeah.
I have to find the record, okay? It's actually at my apartment. I don't have it with me today, but I will bring it for next week. Although I can't bug him for calling because it is like your hockey.
It is. It is the hockey song. Right? And I wonder if that was someone who perhaps was at one time affiliated with the hockey broadcasts out here at CITR.
You think so?
I think it might be.
Oh, well,
we'll see.
One day we'll know. Anyways, Michael, so UBC, it's 36 years in a row out without winning a playoff series. 3 years in a row, they've lost to the Calgary Dinos. In the first round of the playoffs, they have had a very successful preseason, 3 wins in 4 games, so they're looking pretty good there. Expectations for UBC this year?
Oh, well, they're definitely higher, and you've heard me say this over the last 3 seasons, and it's true. Each year they are getting better. They're recruiting. Milan's, who's the coach of the team, his recruiting has just been fantastic the last few years. They have a great crop of new players, and again, this year, they have higher expectations than they did last year. Don't forget, Daryl, they came within about 2.5 seconds last year of winning that playoff round. And in a terrible, terrible finish to a season last year where they were up with 2.5 seconds to go in game 2 of the best of 3 series after winning game 1. And all they had to do was cover the puck in the corner. And Calgary came back and won that game and then won game 3. They were close. And the guys who are returning this year, they're hungry. I mean, they know how close they were. They want to win. They're as competitive as any athletes, and I think the expectations, Dale, should be high. And I talked to one of the coaches today, and they said that despite their success in the preseason, they haven't met their expectations in terms of the quality of play.
That was quite the loss, though, you got to see there. 2.5, was it 2.5 seconds
ago?
Yeah,
about between 2.5 and 3. I can't remember exactly what it was, but it was pretty incredible. Actually, that was to tie it. That was to tie it, and the game went into overtime.
Yeah, they were 2.5 seconds away from winning the series.
Winning the series, and it then went into overtime, and Calgary, of course, won in overtime. And after that, it was just you kind of had to expect that they weren't going to win the next game either, just because the change in momentum. It was just obvious. But this year, Daryl, there's some differences to this team, and probably the biggest difference is on defense. Basically, last year, their top 4 defensemen played tons of minutes, and this year those top 4 defensemen are actually going to be probably moved down, and they're going to be their 3rd, 4th, 5th, and 6th defensemen. They've got 2 great new defensemen, Nick Duff being one of them, and Scott Lynch, who was out last year with a shoulder injury, who had to be he redshirted all last year, he's going to be back. And they can move the puck extremely well. They are going to make a difference to how the forwards are able to break out of the zone, and it's something they didn't have last year.
Right, and Mike, this is a team, UBC, in the preseason. They did beat Saskatchewan 4-2, who was the #1 team in the country for, I believe it was 11 weeks last year. And the big recruits this year, I believe Matt Schneider is one of them. Jeff Lynch is
Scott's younger brother.
Younger brother. And, of course, the big one, who those of the Vancouver market know,
three-time 30-goal scorer in the Western Hockey League, Mitch Bartley, formerly of the Vancouver Giants. Maybe the biggest acquisition we've seen here, you'd say eight to 10 years.
Absolutely. And, of course, this is a guy that every school across Canada wanted. And he decided to come to UBC. I believe he had a relationship with Milan, a hockey relationship with Milan over the last several years, as Milan was involved with the Giants when I think Mitch was drafted. And he, you know, he's a solid hockey player. He helped lead that team to Memorial Cup last year, so he knows how to play under pressure. And he's one of the guys, Daryl. I don't even think he's put up a point yet in the preseason. And he's a guy that, even though he had three 30-goal years in the Western League, there is a little bit of a learning curve coming to this program. He's now not playing against, I mean, he was a 20-year-old last year playing against 16-year-olds. He's now a 20-year-old playing against 25-year-olds. And it's a big difference. And he's going to have to, you know, there's going to be an adjustment time, but he's playing on a line with a former teammate. He's playing with Daryl May. And, you know, it's going to take a little time, but they're going to click eventually. And another potential person on their line is Kyle Bruce, who things are still up in the air with Kyle. He went to an American Hockey League tryout with Iowa, and he was recently released by Iowa. He's now apparently back in Vancouver, but it's still up in the air whether or not he's going to stay here at UBC or he's going to go back and play in the East Coast League for Iowa's farm team, which I believe is Idaho. So I think
Well done, Michael. Good scoop, huh?
I think there's actually, he has about 3 days to decide, which I think is related to the withdrawal period here at UBC.
Look at you.
Yeah, I've done my scoop, Daryl. I've done my work.
Daryl May, of course, playing on that line, was the leading scorer for UBC last season. The other thing, sort of, Mike, I talked to Milan Dragicevic today, and I asked him, because I remember asking him last year, because it's going on, even in my cousin's juvenile league, they're making it so you can't use the stick anymore. They say they're going to enforce it. I asked him, are they going to do that in CIS hockey or any new changes with what all the leagues are doing? He says what they are doing is you can't use the stick anymore. They are going to enforce that. I think UBC, he said, had 13 minor penalties against them on the weekend. And I go to him, are you happy with the changes? He goes, absolutely. And I go, well, last season when I asked you if you wanted the changes, you said, no way. He said, well, last year we had a quote-unquote hard-working team, is how they like to call it, where this year they have the skilled team. So, I mean, that said it to me right there. This is a much more, is this the most skilled UBC team they've had maybe in, well, 30-plus years? I mean, we don't know that
on
long ago.
On paper, it seems like it. On paper, it seems like at least the last 10 years, I can say, it is the most skilled team. And you're right, they used to be that hardworking team, especially with their old coach, Mike Coughlin, where they used to, you know, they used to basically admit to themselves, we don't have very much scoring talent on our team. And they would literally get to the red line, dump the puck in, try and create goals off of turnovers. And now, slowly, they're changing to a team that likes to break out, likes to create odd man rushes, likes to take chances. And, you know, they're still going to be hardworking, Daryl. They're still going to be hardworking, but they're going to have the skill that they haven't had. They're going to be able to put the puck in the net.
And Gary Festa, he's back, 288 goals against, 907 save percentage. Outstanding goalie for UBC last season. He's back. He's the number one.
I didn't quite get a straight answer with that one. I'm going to imagine that they're going to go with him in the first game on Friday night and go from there. If he has a great game, it's going to be hard not to go with him after that. But, you know, they have a fantastic second goalie this year, which they haven't had. They haven't had a 1-2 duo in years. And it gives, you know, it puts a little bit of pressure on Jerry, and it puts a little pressure on Thuo, who's the backup goalie. Pardon my pronunciation if I didn't quite get that right.
Sounded good.
But he's coming, you know, he's coming from the Quebec Major Junior League, where he saw a lot of pucks. And, you know, it'll be nice to be able to have a tandem that if somebody goes down to injury, and knock on wood, this team's healthy right now, but they've, you know, have a history of injuries. And it's a long season. It's a long semester, too, for these guys. And some nights a goalie just doesn't have it. And it's going to be great to be able to have that backup there just in case.
Well, to put it in perspective, UBC, as I mentioned, 36 seasons without winning a postseason series. Their record last year, 12-15-1, was their best in 16 seasons. So still three games below 500 but it was still their best in 16 years.
And it could have been better, Daryl. It could have been better last year. They really had some injury trouble to some key players. And they, you know, there was this point in the season where I believe they lost a dozen games in a row. And that really killed them in the middle of the season when they did have some injuries.
Awesome. Michael Wall, Mike, thanks for doing this. UBC, you're going to South Surrey.
That's right, South Surrey. If anyone knows the directions, please email them. it's at 7:15 here on CITR 101.9. Yeah. You can also listen to it on the internet at CITR.ca.
Have you seen the new website?
Yeah, I have. It's quite good, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the whole popping thing they got going on here. Podcast.
That's the buzzword.
I don't know what it means yet, exactly, but I kind of do. Have you ever done a podcast? Have you ever...
No, I'm just the guy with the headset.
Attaboy. Mikey Wall, Mike, thanks for coming in. We're going to be right back with the quarterback for the UBC Thunderbird football team, Blake Smeltzer. Shrumble 29 will be going on this Saturday. Mikey will be in the South Surrey Arena this Friday night at 7 p.m. 7:10 p.m.? What is it, 7:15?
I believe it's a 7:15
start. All right, we'll go 7:15, UBC versus Saskatchewan. They'll be playing there on Saturday night also, but we're only doing the Friday night game. All right, we'll be right back in a moment. Mikey, thanks a bunch. Blake Smeltzer will be with us from the football team.
Talking about sports.
I never thought I could feel so free. Flying away on a wing and a prayer.
Who could it be? Believe it or not, it's just me. CITR Sports. Please listen.
Awesome. Okay, everybody, welcome back to the show. Mikey Wall enjoyed Wilson Wong there singing the Greatest American Hero theme song. You like that one, huh? I enjoy it. Anyways, folks, we're going on to Shrumble Talk right now. Shrumble 29 this Saturday at 2 p.m. at Thunderbird Stadium. UBC 2-2 will be taking on SFU, who's 0-3-1. SFU, see you, Mikey? SFU, they have been struggling this season. 77-7 loses their first game. 52-7 loses their second game. 53-16 loses their third game. But then last week, SFU almost pulled off the upset, losing 39-36 in overtime to the University of Alberta Golden Bears. So who knows? We might have a good game. This is the 29th Shrumble. UBC leads the series 14, or SFU. SFU leads the series 14-13-1. I caught up with earlier in the day Blake Smeltzer, the starting quarterback for the UBC Thunderbirds. UBC fresh off a 60-48 win versus the Regina Rams, tied the record for most points in a UBC game. Blake in that game, 26-33, 392 yards. He had four touchdowns. And I caught up with Blake, and my comment with Blake Smeltzer is I was there 5 years ago. His first ever game was in the Shrumble. He came off the bench, and UBC was losing. UBC didn't win that Shrumble, but they ended up winning their next three games to close the season with a 3-5 record, and Blake has been the starting quarterback ever since. So I asked Blake Smeltzer really what it meant to him. You know, this is his last Shrumble, and what he remembers about, you know, coming off the bench in Shrumble 2002. And at the end, I don't know if you listen to my show very much, but I got my streaker clip from that Shrumble. I asked Blake about it, and I'll close out the interview with the streaker call. So here's my interview with Blake Smeltzer, asking Blake, what was it like coming off the bench, Shrumble 2002, as a true freshman?
Oh, I totally do. That's where it all started for me at UBC. You know, Coach turned to me. He's like, if we don't get a first down here, you're in. So, you know, I stared up at the crowd, and it was probably about 5,000 people there. And, you know, I didn't have really time to get nervous. And, you know, he put me in when we were already down in the game. So, you know, it was exciting. Like, I, you know, after that game, I started the next three games, and we won. Like, it sparked the team, and I guess it sparked my career, too.
So, Blake, this year's Rumble, I mean, that one, SFU trying to fight, be a half-decent team. You guys were a good team that season, but just couldn't really seem to get the victories. This season, you know, SFU coming in, they're looking a little shaky. UBC, you guys are 2-2. We'll get into last week's game when you had that wild one versus Regina. But SFU, 0-3-1, but this is the Rumble, and I take it you guys aren't going to be taking this team lightly.
We can never take a team lightly, especially when SFU last week tied and then went into overtime against Alberta, a team we lost to. So anything could happen in the Rumble. You know, emotions run high, and, you know, we got to get a win. We got to bring the Rumble victory. I think we have to tie it up this year.
Yeah, 14-13-1. This is the 29th Rumble, so you guys are down one, but you've won the last two. SFU, though, 77-7 losers, 52-7 losers, 53-16 losers. And then they play a good game versus Alberta last week. What's the story with SFU football this season?
I think it just, with the new coach and everything, it just took a while to click. And I think they're going to come into the game with a little more confidence after last week, staying with Alberta for a long time. And you know what? Like, anything can happen on any day. So we still got to come out strong. And I think if we get up on them early, we can shut them down.
And UBC, Blake, offensively, I mean, you know, what do you guys got to do? What did you learn? Actually, I shouldn't say offensively because you scored 60 points last week. Yeah. But defensively, I mean, you know, you are the quarterback, but you had to see some things go wrong when a team gives up 48 points and something like 526 yards in the air.
Yeah, well, it's been the other way around before. You know, the defense has stopped it, and the offense can't execute. So, I know, things come around, go around. So, you know, we got to come out strong. We got to keep playing our game on offense. So, you know, defense will clean it up, a lot of the mistakes they made, and we got to keep out and scoring points.
Blake, let's get into last week. 26 for 33, 392 yards, 4 touchdowns, career highs everywhere. Was that a fun game to play?
Oh, it was an awesome game. You know, like, every time we went out, like, the other team would score, too. Regina would score, and we're like, you know what? We got to keep scoring. We got to keep the ball rolling. And it seemed like everything was working. Chisky was having an amazing game himself, which opened up the pass game, and it just seemed like everything was working for us that week.
Chris Chisky, 22 carries, 183 yards, 3 touchdowns in that game, also caught one. But, Blake, is that a game? I mean, do you dream about those games? I mean, you're playing football. Everything is, you know, by the book. You got to do these plays. You got to do this. And then you just run into a wide open game like that. Is that just a dream to play in?
Oh, it's a lot of fun, you know, like when everything's clicking, especially when we watch the film the next day and coach isn't screaming at us for all the mistakes we made. It's nice to go through. He's like, wow, nice play. Wow, nice play. It's nice to hear that sometimes, you know. Yeah, it was a fun game overall. I love to have those games. But those close ones are always fun, too.
And Blake, UBC football this season, you guys have lost two very close games in 2006 so far at Alberta and at Saskatchewan. What have you taken from those games so far?
Well, we love close games. Like, we've had so many close games, and I know some people say you can't have 3 close games in a row, and we did, and we still won our game against Regina. But, you know, like, we play as a team the whole game, and we never shut down. So, you know, if you're in it to the end, you learn a lot from it and how to play as a team.
And you guys have pretty much played every team in the Canada West now. How does UBC match up, and what do you guys have to work on?
Well, I think we easily could have been 4-0, which would have been nice. We just got to keep playing our game and keep getting better each week. You know, like, we can't take any steps back. So, you know, we just got to get into the playoffs, start, and then see how it goes.
So, once again, UBC and SFU, it'll be Saturday here at Thunderbird Stadium. 2 p.m. will be the start. And, Blake, as a player, we mentioned your first game was at the Rumble. What does the Rumble mean to you? Because this is your last Rumble.
Oh, it means a lot, especially one of my good buddies from high school. He plays halfback on the team, so and it's his 5th year as well. So it means a lot there, you know, a little bit of rivalry there. But, you know, there's a lot of history behind the Rumble, and it's nice to bring it back home.
And, Blake, I just so you know, I'm about to play it. I can't play the clip for you, but I'm about to play it. It is our call of the streaker in the very first Rumble game that you played. And do you remember that streak?
Oh, I remember it. The security guard was into it. He was into it, and he got away. It, you know, some distractions like that, they're fun sometimes, but they keep on happening. You know, it kind of gets annoying. it was pretty funny, that one, for sure.
Do you remember he went end zone to end zone?
Yeah, end zone to end zone, then finally jumped over the fence, and the crowd cheered.
You don't remember the break dancing in the end zone?
Oh, that was good. He pulled out some good moves there.
Sweet. Blake Smeltzer, quarterback for the UBC Thunderbirds. Once again, here are Blake's numbers on Saturday. 26 for 33, 392 yards, 4 touchdowns, 60-48 win versus Regina. Tied the record for most points scored ever by a UBC football team. They've got the Shrumble this weekend. Blake, it'll be your last one. Make it a good one. Blake Smeltzer. Thanks, Blake.
Thank you.
Second down and 18 for the Clan at throw 37. We got our streaker.
Here's
there
the
is.
Streaker.
Davies dropped back. He's got a throw.
Threw it
now
to the streaker.
And the streaker, I think, got Simon Fraser a first down. And we got security getting after him. He's into the, Sam, you call it.
He's
you
into the
it.
End zone, and he's breakdancing in the end zone bare naked. He's being chased by security, and he's going to the hill. Security fell down.
Go.
Security is gone.
Go. He's gone. For
get
the
up the fence.
Oh, he's
go.
Go, go.
He's going to make it out of here, folks. He's going to make it out of here bare naked.
He's got to climb the fence. There he goes. Oh, he's going to do it with the jump of an Olympian.
Oh, no. I believe that was an SFU fan, number one. And number two, I think it would be unbelievable if right this second another streaker came on the field. Is there anybody in the building willing to streak other than Daryl Wiener?
That was a world-class streak. That was a world-class streak. Did you see the jump to get over that fence?
Unbelievable. And, you know, the guy was bare naked. I don't even think he was holding a pair of underwear in his hands. He's still bare naked somewhere on the UBC campus. I hope there's a getaway car for him somewhere. Otherwise,
look
he's going to be...
Look for him around Kerner Library right about now.
Or
maybe
possibly,
he'll make his way down to Thunderbird Winter Sports Center and streak the hockey game.
Wouldn't that be something else?
A double streak at night. They're just going to redo...
He could breakdance at center ice.
They're just... Wog's got a report.
Well, as the SFU fans celebrate, I should probably tell you that the streaker has not been caught and is probably roaming around campus naked and probably with some cuts. As the security people have told me, the area where he ran over the fence, there are barbed wires.
Barbed wire?
Yes, that's what they tell me. So he's going to be hurting. But on the good side, there is a rumor that he could start for SFU next week at running back with his impressive almost 200-yard run. And I can confirm that the SFU fans are indeed more drunk than the UBC fans. Daryl and Sam.
So barbed wire, hey? Was there blood on the fence, or they just know?
I don't think I have the guts to go over there.
So there you do have it. A fun time had by all. Anyways, folks, that's it for the show today. Well, we're going to be doing some more Wiener's Barbecue Sports right after this break. Cliff Ronning, formerly of the Vancouver Canucks, will be with us to talk about some hockey. Julio Caravatta, color commentator voice for the BC Lions, he's going to be with us to talk about them. Bill Plunkett from the Orange County Register, going to do a little New York Mets, Los Angeles Dodgers preview. They get underway tomorrow. We'll go over some baseball action. Two games today, Yankees and Tigers getting ready to get going anytime right now. I think about 15 minutes. And to finish off the show at 5:45 will be Mr. Vegas, BJ Brian Bass, coming on to talk a little National Football League. Well, UBC, elsewhere UBC this weekend, the men's volleyball team will be doing their first games of the season. They are of the exhibition variety. They're going to be playing Thompson Rivers Thursday at Semuanu High School. And Friday, they're going to be playing Thompson Rivers right here at the War Memorial Gym. The UBC men's golf team Thursday will be at the UBC Thunderbird Invitational at Point Roberts Golf Course. And then Sunday, they're going to be at the University of Victoria Shootout at Cordova Bay, BC. Cross country, the men and women are going to be at the Western Washington Invitational at Bellingham, Washington. And the women's hockey team has their season opener Friday and Saturday at Saskatchewan in Saskatoon. Men's soccer team, they are 4-1-2. They're going to be traveling to Victoria, 2-4-1. UBC men's soccer team lost their first game of the season on Saturday, 3-1 at home versus the sixth-ranked Alberta. I always think they're the Golden Bears, but maybe they're just called the Bears now. I don't know. And UBC, though, did come back on Sunday to beat the Saskatchewan Huskies 3-1. The UBC ladies soccer team, they are 3-3-1 after losing to Alberta 1-0 on Saturday. Alberta is 6-1. And then UBC was able to come back on Sunday and beat Saskatchewan 3-0. They are going to be playing Fraser Valley and Trinity Western at home on Saturday and Sunday, respectively. Okay, folks, we're going to take a quick break. Then we're going to get into some, well, you know, professional sports variety. Cliff Ronning, formerly of the Vancouver Canucks, is going to be with us to talk a little hockey as the season gets underway tomorrow. The Canucks are going to be in action on Thursday versus the Red Wings. We got a lot to do. I'm going to be giving away tickets to Loud, Quiet, Loud, a film about the Pixies. I got four of them to give away, so stay tuned if you want to win those. Okay, we are going to take a break right now. Going to be right back, if I can get a hold of them, with Cliff Ronning. Hopefully, you'll stick around.
Everyone gets together, play games, and sing songs.
You listen to Wiener's Barbecue, and they're not giving me a damn thing for this.
Okay, everybody, welcome back to the show. With us on the line right now, former Vancouver Canuck Cliff Ronning, who I'm told, Cliff, your phone's about to die, I'm told?
Yeah, I'm one of those guys that didn't plug in the phone, so hopefully it won't be rude if it all of a sudden goes off.
No problem, Cliff. Everybody will understand, appreciate you doing this today. Awesome. Well, Cliff Ronning, so Cliff, first off, National Hockey League season gets underway tomorrow. First televised game will be Ottawa at Toronto. The Canucks are going to be playing in Detroit on Thursday. Are you excited for this upcoming NHL season?
I am. I think with the new NHL, it's wide open. It's very exciting to watch and actually be in the stands when you're watching a live game. You can really see the speed and the talent out there now, and there's less of a goon show and a lot more the way hockey was supposed to be played, how I feel.
And, Cliff, I take it you wish at the end of your career they had maybe put in these new rules. Would have made it easier for you out there, I'm sure.
It would have been a lot easier. I'm only 5'7", and I took more elbows to the head probably than anyone ever in the game. But then again, that's what made it fun. It was definitely a challenge before, and now with the speed of the game, it would have benefited me, but I feel very fortunate I played for so many years.
Cliff, obviously as a player, not for the salary cap, but as a fan, do you think the salary cap's a good thing, putting every team on equal plane, or should some teams be allowed to spend more than others and maybe keep a dynasty-like team together? What do you think as a fan?
I think as a fan, I think the game is right now very entertaining, and I think
the salary cap in that aspect. Now it really determines how intelligent the general manager is and makes the right decisions, because a bad decision can really make a difference for the whole year.
And let's talk a little Vancouver Canucks if we can. Cliff, I'm sure you've been following this team. The Canucks, you know, they've been picked anywhere from ninth to barely making the playoffs here this year. Nothing really much higher than that. What does Cliff Ronning think of the Vancouver Canucks' chances this season?
Well, I don't want to make any predictions because I'm like a lot of people. I'm not really sure if guys have big years, they'll be very successful. But, you know, it really depends on one of those things that if the goaltending is as good as what I've seen when I've gone to practice, it could make a huge difference. And also, I think the biggest thing, they are going to miss Carter, a big, strong right-handed shot on the power play. Naslund's a great player, but he mostly plays in the sideboard, so that means one of the Sedins is in front of the net instead of Anson Carter tipping pucks.
Right, and are you a fan? Do you think this Sedin-Marcus Naslund line is the way to go, or mix it up a bit?
You know what? I haven't really focused enough on that when I've watched them, but that's a heck of a lot of talent. You know, it's yet to be seen, but it would have been nice, obviously, to have Carter on that one Sedin line, and would have kind of spread the wealth around. Then you have someone like a Naslund who's very dangerous on any line, and that way they would have spread it around a bit. But, you know, this is the way they are right now, and I'm sure by the end of the year they'll be making a couple deals to tweak the Canucks. But yet some of the younger players like a Kessler definitely looks like they've stepped up and they're ready to play. And the biggest thing is Kessler really wants to compete. You can see that he drives to the net, and he doesn't mind getting punched around a little bit.
So you're a fan of Ryan Kessler?
I just like what he stands for, and that's just he wants to win. And I think that's something that hopefully a lot of the guys have that enthusiasm going into the season.
Right, Cliff. I mean, obviously in this new NHL with the salary cap, your big pay guys, you can only have so many of them, so you're going to need those third, fourth line players to step up. How important and how do you think Matt Cook, Alex Burrows, and Ryan Kessler will be for the Canucks this season?
I think they're very crucial. You know they're going to work hard. Can they punish the other best lines enough without getting scored too many times against or taking penalties? I think staying out of the box is going to key for them. But yet Matt Cook's a very difficult player to play against. He really knows when to go after certain players with a clean hit, and he definitely plays that role very well. And he's ready to play. You can see it in his eyes.
Cliff Ronning with us right now. Cliff, and the defense, the three big guys back there for the Canucks, is this enough for that team to succeed? Willie Mitchell, Sammy Salo, Matias Olin, no more Ed Jovanovski back there. Are those three guys enough for a team to go a long way?
Well, I think right now they're hoping that some of the other players will step up to carry the puck, but you're talking three great defensemen right there, and, you know, when you watch guys like it'd be nice to have someone like a Pronger back there, but yet the three guys they have are very solid, and whoever they play with will make them that much stronger. And the Canucks have always kind of gone with 5D, and the sixth one's kind of there for a special teams type thing. It's yet to be seen. Jovanovski will definitely be missed the way he carried the puck out of his zone. I think you won't be seeing the puck carried out of the zone. It'll have to be passed out of the zone. And sometimes in that situation, there's turnovers. So, it's like you said, it's yet to be seen. Hopefully things work out. Being from here, I'm still a Canuck fan, and I'm looking forward to it.
And how good is Roberto Luongo? And did you ever play against Roberto Luongo?
I played against him. I feel very fortunate. Actually, my 1,000th game, he was a goaltender, and that was in Florida, so... he's a great goaltender. He covers a lot of net, and he's just a professional. He knows what his role is, and if the players can rally around him, and you know, he's going to let one or two in maybe, and we just have to, as a team, the Canucks have to find a way to get three goals in a game, and I think they'll find ways to win.
Who are some of the other teams? I mean, obviously the Eastern Conference, we don't get to see much of them this year, pretty much any year. Who are some of the other teams in the West, though, Cliff, that you're excited to watch in 2006-07?
Well, I think the Ducks are one that's going to be exciting. I also believe that the San Jose Sharks play a very, very fast-paced game. I also think, you know, those are the two that stick out to me. And I'm kind of interested to see how the L.A. Kings play. They might just have a good season. And just to see if Phoenix Coyotes can all get along. There's a lot of talent there, but a lot of different egos.
You think Jeremy Rowe, Roenick, Owen Nolan, all those guys can get it? They have the potential to get it done?
They have a potential if things go their way, but the game has definitely changed. You can't intimidate different players now, and a lot of these young kids are coming in, and they can sure skate. And the way the rules are, the team that can skate the fastest, it seems to be they're the ones that are winning championships now.
Cliff, thanks for doing this. Just a couple more questions here. Really do appreciate it. Explain to me, though, I'm sort of missing the boat here. Why is everybody touting San Jose so highly?
Well, I think, Joe Thornton, that's a pretty good reason right there. Probably the best centerman out there. He's a big guy. He can make plays. Chichu is very dangerous. They have a couple other players. I think Ron Wilson's a very intelligent coach. Some games you have to play rough. Some games you have to play with speed. And he makes his team move the puck around. And I think their style right now kind of suits that style of the NHL. They're dangerous to play against.
So terrific. So Cliff Ronnie and Cliff, are you a fan of this schedule where the teams from the East, from a player's perspective, let me ask you that, from a fan who could be a fan of it, but from a player's perspective, do you want to be playing, more teams in your general area, less travel, and maybe only going to the East Coast and playing those teams once every 3 years, or do you want to see every team every season?
Yeah, I absolutely, as a fan, want to see the Pittsburgh Penguins come in. I want to see Malkin. I want to see these players, Todd Bertuzzi coming in from Florida. I want to see, as a fan, that's what I want to see. As a player, I enjoyed going out and playing in Philadelphia. It was a challenge, and I think just those type of things, I think it's important, but the other side of it is probably finances. If I was an owner, I'd be happy the way it's set up.
Well, fans are sick and tired of hearing that one, though, Cliff, as I'm sure everybody in hockey is, I guess. But Cliff Ronning, Cliff, last question. Who are you picking? It's the day before the season starts. Who wins the Stanley Cup, and who do they beat?
Well, I don't know if I can predict who's going to win the Cup, but I got a feeling that the Anaheim Ducks are going to possibly represent the West. The East is a bit tougher to decide on. I don't know where to go with that right now, but I kind of like the Ducks right now.
And Cliff, we're pretty happy that, the lockout's over, the first season's out of the way. It seems like this is the year where it's actually hockey time again, no?
Yeah, no, it's fun. I think I have a boy that's 9 years old, and he's playing hockey, and all the young kids over at North Shore Winter Club are pretty excited about the upcoming season for the Canucks. And like all of us, we're all fans. We pass it down to our kids, and they get that little bit of feeling about hockey, how much it means to Canada.
Awesome. Cliff Ronning, former Vancouver Canuck. Cliff, I really do appreciate it. Thanks a lot, and enjoy the season.
No problem. Thank you.
Thank you, Cliff. Ah, what a nice guy. It's one of those interviews you'd like to have more time, but, I called him up, said he'd do it, and, of course, you got to appreciate it when Cliff Ronning, formerly of the Vancouver Canucks, I used to love watching that guy, coming onto the show. All right, folks, we are going to take a break here. You're listening to 101.9 FM CITR Radio, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. We're going to change gears a bit from hockey and, my hockey, actually, before we go to the break here. We're about to avoid hockey. I will say that this is, for me, I don't think I can complain at all. I don't think I can think of anything else. This is my time of the year for sports. You've got baseball playoffs going on. Wow. You've got hockey getting going and football time. Even if for the CFL guys, you got that getting in the swing and the NFL. Hey, I'm happy. That's it for me. Okay, hockey, for me personally, it's sort of going to be a bit of a crazy season. I think the salary cap is just making it pure cuckoo because you sort of, you know, probably Chicago, the Islanders, and Washington. Those are my three dogs who aren't going to be very good this season. And then you go on to the right or the left, whatever, up. You know, I don't mean political things there. I don't know. Then you go up and you look at, there's Anaheim, Detroit, San Jose, I guess Ottawa. I mean, there you go. I guess Ottawa. Is Carolina going to do it again? People, for whatever reason, like Buffalo. You really don't know what's going to happen in hockey. Is it a good thing? Well, it does create some excitement, but don't you miss the little dynasties? Don't you miss those little, that Oiler team, the Islander team? I mean, who knows? You can always find a way to complain about something, I guess, but I don't know. I just wish they found a way that, you know, because my problem with the salary cap is it's good, you know, it keeps the crazies out, and, you know, if these guys keep spending all that money, it is bad for the fan, and prices spiral. But, you know, I don't like it how the owner in Toronto spends the $42 million, and he was making money when they were having $70, $75 million payrolls. So that extra $32, $35 million goes directly into his pocket, and he doesn't have to explain a thing to his fan base. Same with the Rangers, same with Detroit. The Canucks, they would have a higher payroll without the salary cap, no doubt. Jobo, probably still here. Carter, maybe. But who knows, because Detroit would have all that money. I mean, we don't know. This is how it is. I'm done. Anyways, folks, we're going to take a quick break. Julio Caravana, color commentator for the BC Lions Radio Network, is going to be with us. BC, Friday, at home, versus the Calgary Stampeders. We're taking a break. You're listening to 101.9 FM, CITR Radio, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. Wait, that was the wrong song. That was the wrong... Oh, that's right. I got a little behind schedule there. You're listening to 101.9 FM.
Sometimes it's hard to be a woman, giving all your love to just one man. You'll have bad times and you'll have good times, doing things that you don't understand. But if you love him, forgive him, even though he's hard to understand.
Of Tammy Wynette.
I didn't hear.
Oh, you didn't hear?
No.
No.
Yeah. No. Actually, I thought you'd cut me off.
You thought I? Oh, I was playing. I thought I was. Oh, I'm sorry. I because I'm trying to play music for you, right?
Oh, are you?
Yeah, and that was Stand By Your Man.
Oh,
I just
yeah.
Went. Are you happy you missed it?
I like the country music, Daryl.
I thought so.
Yeah, I'm a country music guy.
I thought so. You know what? There you go. Because I'm trying to find music for you, Julio. You didn't like it two times ago. You didn't mind the CCR last week.
Yeah.
So I went with a little.
Well, you know what? It's flattering, Daryl, that you would actually think along those lines, that you would actually try to do something to please me.
What?
In the big scheme of things, Daryl, I think you're at the top of the list because not very many people ever try to do anything that I like.
Julio, you're making me feel very uncomfortable right now. How was Hamilton?
It was nice. Yeah, it was nice. I enjoy going to Hamilton. You know, it's a great little stadium. You know, it's unfortunate that the team's record is what it is there, but I always enjoy it. I always love the stadium. It's a great stadium. It's tucked away right into the neighborhood of Hamilton, so it's a lots of fun.
Julio Caravata with us right now, and Julio is you were just in Hamilton, and I brought it up with you briefly last week, and I want to talk about it now and then get off it and get into BC Lions stuff. But if Toronto does ever get that NFL team, you got to figure that Hamilton and the CFL is definitely dead. I mean, they can't let Toronto get that team.
No, that won't happen. That's just, you know, I don't know where it resurfaces this talk all the time about this stuff, but, you know, I just don't see it happening.
Will you root against the Maple Leafs if Toronto gets an NFL team and the CFL folds because of it?
Will I root against the Maple Leafs?
Yes.
No.
Okay, just asking. You should. You should.
You know what? I'm going to be like one of those Boston Red Sox fans, you know, that cheered for their team until like they're 80 until they win a championship.
You think it's going to take that long for your Leafs,
I got a funny feeling. I'm going to be old and gray before that ever happens.
I hope I'm dead by the time the Leafs win. I tell you that. I do not want to, or at least out of the country. At least out of the country. I don't want to be around. You know they're my most hated team in pro sports.
Toronto?
The Maple Leafs.
Get out.
My most hated.
Why?
I despise them.
Why?
I despise everything about them.
Why? Don't talk like that, Daryl.
This is the thing. Leaf fans are so sensitive, too.
I'm just a sensitive guy. I'm sensitive about a lot of things.
My mom's a Blue Jays fan, though.
Is she?
Yeah.
You love this time of the year, huh?
Oh, me? I'm in heaven right now,
okay,
man.
Okay. I know Minnesota lost today, right?
Minnesota lost 3-2. Frank Thomas had two home runs in that game.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I believe so. And Albert Pujols, St. Louis's win, hit a ball. It was just, you know, one of those balls the guy just crushes to center, like left center field. And,
God, is he a good hitter.
Yeah, you know the ones where the guy just hits and it's gone.
And everybody knows it.
Yeah, and he's walking.
Yeah, I always think about that. I always think, and you always think about great hitters. And just, sorry, we're getting off the topic, but it just amazes me that I remember last year against Houston?
Pujols, yeah.
And it was in Houston. The place is going bananas. They need one more out.
And they're going to the World Series.
Yeah. And he just crushes.
That thing just hit my apartment building last week.
I'm always amazed that you know how great a guy is and his mental preparation for the game. When you can step up like that, when you've got, you know, 60,000, 70,000 people screaming, and you can have that kind of concentration to hit a ball, it's amazing.
No, I'm a bit, and my Dodgers play tomorrow.
Yeah, well, I'm pulling for the Dodgers. I love the Dodgers, too.
That's my team.
Is it?
Yeah.
I love the Dodgers as well.
I've liked them since I was 7 years old.
Yeah.
They've been my team.
Yeah.
And I interviewed a writer from their team, from the Dodgers today. So.
Did you?
Oh, yeah. That's my show. I'm fitting that in. I'm fitting that in.
Nobody Those are the perks, my friend.
Nobody
Those are the perks.
Wow, there's got to be some perks, Julio. There's got to be some perks.
Good for you.
Awesome. We're here with Julio Caravata, color commentator voice for the BC Lions. So, Julio, Calgary coming to town this weekend. BC's got a home-and-home with them. They've played one time this season. BC whooped them by 23 points. But there seems to be a little bit of nervous feeling around our BC Lions right now in this fair city, Julio. Is it justified?
Well, the nerves being around Dave Dickinson, I would imagine that's your question, because it's definitely one of those situations where no one can really give you, you know, a straight answer, because no one knows. You know, you talk to the trainers, you talk to the doctors, you talk to the coaches, and they'll give you the same answer. They just don't know. From what I understand, he has been cleared to practice this week, but I would imagine, Daryl, they are going to use kid gloves with him, as far as we're talking about, you know, his future as a you know, not only as a BC Lion, but I think his future as a person, you know what I mean? Like, this could be something that affects him all the way down the road, and they're going to be very, very, very cautious with the whole situation.
What happened in Hamilton last weekend, Julia? How did it all go down?
With Buck or?
With everybody.
Oh, well, you know, we didn't know. Rick actually, during the press conference, asked about, you know, Dave and who the and then that's when he told us that, you know, Buck Pierce was going to be the starting quarterback. Up until that point, everyone thought it was going to be Dave Dickinson, and it was kind of strange. The way Wally had explained it to us was that Wednesday they found out that the doctors thought, you know, it would be best if they rest Dave. A couple of the symptoms had popped up, and, you know, his test results, I guess, when they do those tests, came up, and one of them he hadn't responded to, so they just felt that he needed to have a little bit of a rest. And looking back at the situation, even Dave admitted that he probably should not have played in Saskatchewan. He boarded that plane to Regina thinking that he was feeling lightheaded and sick and nauseous and all those kinds of things because his wife and little girl were sick at home the week prior with a flu, thinking that was going to be the problem. And he thought, you know, that's what it was. And he had talked himself into that's what it was. And in fact, it wasn't. It was more the symptoms from the concussion. So, resting him, that's all you can do right now. Because as we said, or as everyone said, there's just no way of putting a timetable or giving a straight answer because no one knows.
And Buck Pierce, I mean, what is he healthy? Is he going to be good to go definitely this weekend? I mean, what's the story?
Yeah, the way I understood it, Daryl, was during the game, he suffered a blow from Clinton Wayne on the elbow. And that elbow... if you've ever hit your funny bone, it hit that funny bone, and it was more like a contusion right there, and that sent the nerves and made his throwing hand numb. And then later on, he came back in and got hit again by Juwan Armour, and his hands went numb. And they just feel that it's more of a contusion, and he should be ready to go. They didn't see any kind of there wasn't a tear, there wasn't a break, there wasn't anything other than just a little bit of nerve damage, what they felt would, you know, with some ice and some rest, that there was going to all come back. And from what I understand, he's going to be fine. Really, if you look at all those negative things that have happened with Dave and Buck getting hurt, the huge positive is the play of Jarius Jackson. Really, he stepped up and lived up to all the billing that has come with him. He showed all the things that Wally Buono, when you talk to him about Jarius Jackson, his eyes kind of light up. He really kind of started to show all those great qualities that he has, and you could tell that Wally was pretty happy afterwards with his performance.
Have you ever seen, Julio, you had the quarterback controversy of years past, now they finally got Double D's the guy, and just all this is going on.
Yeah.
This is almost unnerving to a team because they don't know. I mean, I'm the stat guy for you guys Friday, Julio, and how much room am I going to have to leave at the beginning of the game for quarterback changes? I'm serious.
Well, Daryl, what a great position it is, though, for the Lions. You know, how many teams in this league, if you were to put your seconds and thirds in there, are winning the games?
Well, we saw what happened with Toronto when they lost Damon Allen, for sure, yeah.
Yeah, look at any other team. You look at Winnipeg. Look at anybody else across the board, and really, I think the only other guy who's probably stepped up and played well is Rocky Butler in Saskatchewan when given the opportunity. He's come in and played well, but really, to go 2 and 3 down your depth chart at that position and have the kind of performance that they did. They are over the top excited about their future and where their team is even now. I just don't think that they're going to hesitate in using any one of those guys. As mentioned, when Jarius Jackson steps in there and does the things that he did during that game, Darryl, he made some throws that were unbelievable. And I mean, I knew that he had a strong arm, but wow! I mean, when you got an arm like that, it just opens up the field because every defender realizes that you can make every throw on that field, and you'll get guys cheating, defensive backs cheating because they feel that you can't make certain throws. But with Jarius Jackson in the game, it is going to open up other guys because if you don't cover your man, he's got the arm to throw to the wide side of the field, and he can get the ball there in a hurry. It's not like you're going to send it out there and it's going to be, you know, way up in the air and you're going to have plenty of time to react to it. I mean, he had a couple of passes to the wide side out that were there right now, and that's impressive in this league.
Julio, you played the position, and do you think it was easier for Jarius Jackson to step in because he has been the short yardage quarterback for BC so far this season, that he has been a part of the team?
I think that it helped him in the sense that when he got into a game, he didn't probably feel the kind of nerves that most guys would. Darryl, you have to understand, like, the third string quarterback, and, you know, I speak from a lot of experience because that's where I spent most of my career, that you get very, very few reps with that first team. You sometimes are left wondering, you know, if you can keep up with what they're putting in offense, because you never get a chance to run it in practice, because the whole practice is geared around your first guy and minimal reps go to the second. And I'm sure in the Lions case, they're going to split the reps because Buck has obviously been needed to get in there and they feel they need to get him reps. But Jarius Jackson, maybe if he'd be lucky to get maybe one rep or two reps with the first team. So, you know, to go in there with a very, very limited offense and not having run it, and the other thing, the timing of the receivers, and there was a few throws during the course of the game on Saturday that were overthrown because you could tell that he just didn't have a feel for certain receivers because he probably hadn't thrown to them very much. The one guy you could see he was going after a lot was Kendrick Jones, and we asked him after the game, we said, Jarius, you know, you throw a lot to Kendrick Jones during practice, do you? And he goes, oh, yeah, on the scout team.
Oh.
And that's exactly, I can remember the same thing. I can remember going into games, and you look for guys that you're familiar with, right? Like, if you knew what Kendrick Jones was going to do in those situations, then you're going to go to him because you're used to his speed, you're used to what he does in practice, and you take that into a game. So it was just very, very impressive to see a guy step in. And I know for Jarius, because it has been a bit of an up-and-down year for him. You know, he came out of the blocks kind of slow, gets demoted, sees Buck Pierce kind of step up and do his thing. And then to kind of take a backseat to it all, it's pretty impressive that a guy like in his position really has stuck with it and really, you know, put his nose to the grindstone and been a great team player, does whatever the team asks him. And he gets rewarded with some great playing time, and everybody after the game was thrilled for him because he is such a good guy.
And the other thing, too, is a pressure situation, Julio. Jarius Jackson is a guy playing at Notre Dame, national championships and everything. Anything the CFL throws at him in a game situation, he's already played in that times, too.
Yeah, you're right, Darryl, but there's no substitute for playing. And I can't give you the exact date of when Jarius Jackson graduated from Notre Dame, but it was probably, what, 5 years ago?
Yeah,
sure. Five, maybe 6 years ago. He hasn't played really since then. He saw limited action in the NFL. He was mostly a backup. So he comes up here after being released, and now he didn't see very much playing time last year because he broke his thumb. So now you're looking at 4 or 5 years that he hasn't actually played. It is such a difficult position to play because there is no substitute for that game speed and game action. And with him, if you talk to the coaches before this, they were just like, you know, Julio, if you watch him in practice, he makes all the throws, he makes all the right decisions, he's a smart guy. We just, can't figure out why he's not carrying that over. And the reason is that game speed, he starts to speed up mechanically because you're not used to how fast the game's going. So your mechanics speed up. You all of a sudden now you're throwing balls high, you're throwing low, because you're just not comfortable with the speed of the game. Once the speed of the game catches up to him, And as you play more, the game actually slows down for the quarterback. Then you're going to see some special things from him because physically he is a gifted young man.
Julio, thanks as always. Do appreciate it. I still have two guests left to get to, so I better hurry up here. last question, Julio. Albert Haynesworth of the Tennessee Titans stomping on, I think I got his name here, Andre Garode on the face, gave the guy 30 stitches. The NFL gave him a 5-game suspension. Your thoughts on that?
Well, it was the biggest suspension in NFL history for an on-field incident?
Yeah, I think the biggest one before that was like 2.
Yeah, and it should have been 10, really. He even admitted afterward, I saw the interview with him afterwards, and he even said that it was disgusting and it was something that he, you know, should never have done. And yeah, okay, he admits to the mistake, but you have to send a very, very big, loud message that it just is not tolerated. And if you're sure it's an emotional game and you get caught up in it, but that stuff's not tolerated. And I would have been, I think it should have been more like 10 or for the rest of the season, because then you send a real, real stiff message to the rest of the league and to the players that kind of stuff will not be tolerated, because you just think about, you know, the millions of fans that watch those games every day and all the kids that watch it, and that's just not the kind of message the NFL wants to send. No league wants to send that message.
You're tough.
Yeah, well.
You're tough.
I just, you know, I guess now that I've become a parent, Daryl, I just realize, like, the importance that these guys, the role models that they do play, and it's just that kind of behavior is just not acceptable, and you should just really come down with it. It's the same for the NHL. You want to cut out some of the craziness that goes on in the NHL and the sucker punches and all that kind. If a guy does something like that, uses his stick, whatever, suspend him 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 games. They'll get the message pretty quick that you can't do that kind of stuff. So, you know, I'm glad the NFL did the 5 games, but it should have been more.
Awesome. Julio Caravana. Julio, we're about to give away passes to the Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Two?
Probably the 100th version, but...
Is it 2?
The beginning.
Oh, the beginning.
The beginning. The Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the beginning.
Wow.
Witness the birth of the fear. Birth. I don't even know what this means. Anyways, you a fan, Julio, of any of them?
Friday the 13th.
Friday the 13th.
You remember the Friday the 13th?
Was that a Texas Chainsaw Massacre?
No. Those are the only ones I remember.
Jason.
Of all those kind of, you know, the Halloweens and the Chainsaw Massacre, all that kind of stuff. That was the Friday the 13th, was the only one I watched.
You know when that lost me was when they did Jason versus Predator in a movie. What the hell were they up to?
I was always a big fan that Jason goes to New York.
No, you weren't. Tell me you weren't. Oh no.
Well, when you have 8 of them, you got to come up with some snappy titles, don't you?
I agree. I absolutely. Jason goes to New York. Oy vey, oy vey. Just staying on TV, okay? And this is way off base here, but I'm going to do it. You know what I watched last night? Do you remember the Seinfeld episode? Did you ever watch Seinfeld?
Oh, come on.
Do you remember the one in the Chinese restaurant?
Oh, yeah.
That was on
Seinfeld
last night.
Seinfeld Table for Four?
What?
Table for Four?
Seinfeld Four! It was on last night. And I wanted to applaud afterwards.
Yeah,
I wanted to applaud.
I got the whole set.
Oh, I don't buy. You know what? For Seinfeld, Simpsons, South Park, they're on TV so much.
Yeah.
I'll just wait for it.
Yeah.
You know? So that's awesome, Julio. I'll see you Friday.
Yeah, I look forward to it, Darren, as always. Thanks very much, buddy. I appreciate it.
I appreciate you, Julio. Thanks a lot. Talk to you soon.
Take care. Bye bye.
All right, everybody. One last break. I hope I can get both interviews in. BJ Bass from Nevada, Las Vegas. Give us a call up right now, 822-2487, 822-2487. Here's what I got to give away. It's your choice. I've got 2 passes here for 2. I don't know why she gave me so much stuff. The Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the beginning. It's Thursday, October 5th. Give us a call if you want to see that piece of junk. Or should I not say that, Eric? It could be good, actually. It could be good.
I'm going to go with the former as opposed to the last.
It could be good. I mean, hey, I don't mean to diss here. It could be awesome. And this one, Eric, what do you think? Maybe you should give these away if that's your kind of thing here. Loud, Quiet, Loud, a film about the Pixies. It's about their reunion. It's going to be at the 25th Vancouver International Film Festival.
Oh, there you go.
And we got a caller. You're getting a whole bunch of stuff. All right, folks, BJ Bass from Nevada, Las Vegas will be with us. Those of you that are calling, stay on the line. I'll pick them up.
I like city, gonna set my soul, gonna set my soul on fire. Got a whole lot of money that's ready to burn, so get those stakes up higher. There's a thousand pretty women waiting out there. They're all living the devil may care, and I'm just a devil with love to spare. So Viva Las Vegas! Viva Las Vegas! I wish that there were more than 24 hours in the day. Even if there were 40 more, I wouldn't sleep a minute away. Oh, there's blackjack and poker and the roulette wheel. A fortune won and lost on every deal. All you need is a strong heart and a nerve of steel. Viva Las Vegas! Viva Las Vegas! Las Vegas with your neon flashing and your one-armed bandits crashing all those haunts down the drain. Fever Las Vegas turning day into nighttime, turning night into daytime. If you see it once, you'll never be the same again. I'm gonna keep on the run, I'm gonna have me some fun. It cost me my very last dime. If I wind up broke, well, I'll always remember that I had a swing in time. I'm gonna give it everything I've got. Lady luck, please let the dice stay hot. Let me shoot a seven with every shot. Viva Las Vegas! Viva Las Vegas! My soul, gonna set my soul on fire. Got a whole lot of money that's ready to burn, so get those stakes up higher. There's a thousand pretty women waiting out there. They're all living the devil may care, and I'm just a devil with love to spare. So Viva Las Vegas.
Are you there?
Yes, I am, sir.
Did you hear the song or no?
I did not.
Yeah, you know, I've been doing that today. I've been putting people on the line. I played Viva Las Vegas.
Oh, it's so much better than the redneck trash we heard last week.
I played you redneck trash?
Or sorry, I believe it was grunge rock trash.
Eric, you're getting dissed here. BJ, you know, what I'm doing right now is I interviewed a Los Angeles Dodgers writer. I pre-recorded it. The Dodgers are in the playoffs. I'm bumping him for you. You have to know what that means to me.
I do know. I was going to say congratulations, and thank you very much.
Yeah, you got to know.
I would hopefully think I'm a little bit more interesting than a Dodgers beat writer.
No, you're not. But...
he knows two things, Chavez Ravine and Dodger dogs. Who cares?
Dodgers in the playoffs, playing tomorrow. I'm stoked. That's all I have to say. And I'm pretty pissed off I never got to do my baseball segment today. I did everything else. Move on. Should I move on?
Yeah, you know me in baseball, dude. Until Bud Selig is no longer involved with that league, I refuse to have any part participation or put any interest in it.
Shana tova?
Shana tova.
Attaboy. All right, BJ, let's get on to some NFL action going on. And before we, all right, we're going to talk about next week's game after. Let's get into last week, what just happened. And let's go into last night. Monday Night Football, Philadelphia 31-9 over the Green Bay Packers. Brett Favre, you know, I love the way he just steps back and just hucks the ball with all his might into double and triple coverage, throwing lots of interceptions. But Brett Favre, was that a bit of a, I mean, why is he playing again this year? I mean, they're not going anywhere anytime.
Well, and you know, the funniest thing is that, you know, he hasn't even really officially come out and said that he's not going to return next year. So, you know, this could be an ongoing saga. I think it's pretty obvious and understandable that the amazing career that Brett's had, what he means to the Green Bay Packers, to the NFL, to Lambeau Field, you know, everything that he's done, he deserves to go out on top, and he deserves to go out on a winning season. Except the problem is I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon. You know, I think that this saga is going to continue to go on for some time. Listen, that team, you know, they were without him on Green, they're starting running back. I mean, it's just there's not a good football team there. They're kind of in a middle stage where they really should be rebuilding, but they can't because they can't take the ball out of Brett Favre's hands. And it doesn't matter if Green Bay goes 0-16. Brett Favre will start every one of those games. They're not going to sit a healthy Brett Favre for Aaron Rodgers. That's not the way that the organization is going to do it. That's not the way the organization is going to thank Brett for all of his time. But you got to reach a point of you know, when do you just cut this thing? You know, Brett's come out publicly and said he will not play for another team. The Packers came out and said, we will not trade Brett to another team. You know, there was some talk about, you know, when the Packers are out of contention and trading Favre to a playoff contending team. That's not going to happen. So this is something that's going to be ongoing for some time.
Well, Brett Favre, two of the last 3 weeks, he had some outstanding games throwing the football. Didn't happen last night on Monday night. But, you know, he's still doing okay. I don't know.
I was going to say, I mean, he doesn't look bad. I mean, there's still a lot of zip on the ball. You know, he's making some bad decisions, but, I mean, with that offense, I think anybody would be making bad decisions in that position.
Baltimore, 16-13 winners over San Diego, two outstanding teams. These are two good football teams, went at it on Sunday. Steve McNair, he did it against Cleveland the week before in Cleveland, to lead him to the game-winning field goal. He had to get the touchdown to get the win versus San Diego. He pulled it off. They are 4-0 Baltimore with Steve McNair, a guy who nobody wanted before the season started, and he has now led Baltimore to a 4-0 record. And he did that thing when they got the winning touchdown, BJ, where he put his hands over his head and did that little symbol.
So, yes, yes.
So Steve McNair, I mean, what's going on? Yeah, I watched it. What's going on in Baltimore?
Well, you listen, you know, Baltimore, the offense finally has an identity. It's not a matter of you know, Kyle Buller couldn't move the ball, which he couldn't. You know, they've added a lot of tools in offense that Buller didn't have. You know, Derek Mason, they draft Mark Clayton. You know, they finally have an identity, though, where they have a guy they can look to in the huddle and have some faith in him. For so long, you know, Ray Lewis and the defense has been the face of the Baltimore Ravens. They've also been on the field for most of the games because there was no offense. That's now a much more rounded team. And you know, Steve McNair is giving the offense some identity, and I think that, you know, it's doing two different things. It's taking some of that pressure off of the defense to perform at such a high level every single play of the game, and it gives the offense something to root for. It gives them something to do when they're on the field and a way to move the ball. And you know, he's an excellent addition to that team. If you know, Jamal Lewis, the running game has been extremely terrible, but you know, they're still 4-0 and they're still making things happen. And you know, at this point in the game, what else can you ask for than to be 4-0? You know, that they look really good, man, and I'm happy to say that I have them at 32-1, so hopefully good things will continue.
Atta boy. New England, it looked like, you know, they're going to go into Cincinnati on the weekend. They were supposed to lose. They were going to drop to 2-2. The Bengals were going to go to 4-0. And kaboom, the Patriots win 38-13. Corey Dillon and Lawrence Morency tear the Bengals apart on the ground. New England looked great. Cincinnati did not look good.
No, and I mean, that was the New England Patriots of old. That game wasn't even in question or close, you know, really from the first quarter. You know, you look at a thing, I mean, New England hasn't lost two consecutive games in whatever it is, 3-4 years. I believe it's the second longest streak in NFL history behind the 49ers of the mid to late 90s. You know, New England's just, they've had so much turnover there I think it's harder for them than it used to be to win games and to make things happen. That being said, they're still an extremely good football team. They're well coached. They believe in each other. There's still a feeling in the locker room that they're the New England Patriots. And they just came out and really took it to Cincinnati. I think Cincinnati was in a little bit of a tough position, almost a letdown game for them. They put everything into their hearts for going into Pittsburgh and winning in Pittsburgh the week before, which they were able to do. And you're looking at a little bit of an emotional letdown coming off of that game. I'll tell you, New England looked great. They made a serious statement that they are a team and that they are a team that you are not going to want to face towards the end of the season if they are on a roll.
No, and don't ever have an emotional letdown when you're going to be playing the New England Patriots, that's for sure. The other team who
you got to agree, though. I mean, the Bengals had to be looking towards at those two games. Pittsburgh just plays such a larger thing in that mentality. It's in the division, the whole Carson Palmer injury. I mean, there's just so much hatred between those two teams that they circled Pittsburgh and said, oh, we happen to be playing New England the next week, and that you can never do that when you're playing Tom Brady because he's just too good.
And the other one, Beach, who I think really impressed me on the weekend. They lost, but I think it really impressed me was New Orleans was supposed to go into Carolina and get whooped. They had their big home opener where they lost it they destroyed Atlanta on Monday Night Football, but they go into Carolina and they lost 21-18. They had an onside kick at the end. They recovered their business. Carolina's only 2-2, but New Orleans, BJ, they're 3-1 right now. They definitely did not get blown out. They were in that game versus Carolina. You got to maybe start time to giving this team some respect.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. I mean, it was a very tough game going into Carolina, especially because, Carolina's one of those teams, they always start the season bad. They're always better than their 0-2 or 1-3 or, 2-2 record, reflects. Obviously, getting Steve Smith back on the offensive side of the ball makes that team an entirely different dynamic. They seem to have a dual-headed thing with Deshaun Foster and D'Angelo Williams are both running the ball great. So, it was really a tough situation for New Orleans, especially, it's a short week. They played on Monday. Now they got to come right back. They go from home inside the dome to on the road, outside on the grass. There was a lot of things really going against that team, and they really did play well. I mean, that score, I think, is a little bit indicative of a closer game than it actually was. They got that long touchdown pass, really within the last minute of play. New Orleans looks good, and it's the way that they're using Reggie Bush, of not even when Reggie Bush is getting the ball, but when Reggie Bush isn't getting the ball. They're using him as a decoy, and what that's doing is it's really opening up the field. And listen, this is Sean Payton's first year as a head coach in New Orleans. This is Drew Brees' first year as a quarterback there, Reggie Bush's first year as a running back there. So this is still a very new thing. It's still a very new team. Listen, we could be talking about the Saints for the next couple of years because they definitely have some talent on both sides of the ball, and they've shown that they really have some heart, which is nice to see from a New Orleans team, isn't it?
Yeah, keeping her going. Not much to say. Seattle goes into Chicago, loses 37-6.
Listen, without Alexander, it's tough. And then, they put up so many points against New York the week before. And it's not even a matter of Alexander not being there to carry the ball as much as it is as it just has to change the entire offensive outlook of that team. And an offense that isn't really set. They're looking at going, using four receiver sets more, getting Deion Branch involved. And it takes so much away from the identity of what they do on the field that you've got to figure they're going to come off a little slow, especially the first week without Alexander. Lucky for them, or unlucky as it turns out, it happens to be on Sunday night in Chicago against an amazing Bears defense that continues to be just outstandingly dominant. The Bears offense comes together. Again, a little bit of a situational play. I think Seattle's better than what we saw. But you know what? I think Chicago could be as good as we saw on Sunday night.
Bears 4-0. The Colts are also 4-0. They squeaked one out. Got a question. The Jets going for it on fourth and goal at the 3 at one point. But BJ, we got to hurry up here, and I want to get on one more topic. But before we do that, did you watch that lateral play by the Jets on the last play of the game?
Yeah, it was phenomenal. I loved it. It was great. You know, listen, I think the Jets might really be one of the surprise teams of this year. I mean, you know, their record is 2-2, but I mean, they played every single one of those games tight. You know, one of their losses was on a Tom Brady, you know, comeback drive in the last minute of the game, then they lose to Indy. You know, all of a sudden, the Jets seemingly are a tough team to play. So it's pretty incredible. I don't think anyone would have thought that going into the season. And, you know, look at Chad Pennington. He's got his shoulder repaired again, and looks like this time they finally fixed it.
I was standing up on my bar stool on that last play, like actually on the stool.
They almost got there. They got to the 20.
The cushion.
That's not too bad. The moment the offensive lineman touches the ball in that situation, you know it's over.
He just made the bad pass there. Last topic, BJ, thanks for doing this. Terrell Owens coming into Philadelphia this weekend. It would have been a little different if the Phillies were in the playoffs, and that gave the Philadelphia sports fans something else to watch. That didn't happen. Terrell Owens going into Philadelphia, the Eagles 2.5 favorites. Your thoughts, and what's T.O. going to do on the weekend? Who's going to win that game?
I mean, you got to feel bad for Parcells in this situation. I mean, having to deal with Terrell Owens and everything that comes out of it.
Their mess, deal with it, dude. Their mess, deal with it, dude.
Hey, it's Big Tuna, the Big Tuna. I mean, I don't know. Obviously, Philadelphia is going to be extremely loud. Obviously, the Boo Birds are going to be out. Obviously, there's going to be lots of posters and lots of T-shirts making very hilarious comments directed at Terrell Owens. You know, Terrell Owens is the guy that all of that is going to almost work against Philadelphia because he's only going to feed off of it, and he's only going to want to play bigger and play better because of it. And, you know, for that reason, I'm going to go with Dallas, I think. You know, Terrell coming in, I don't know, man. I think that they're really going to have some killer edge there, and I think Philly's going to be too focused on stopping one player and not worrying about the rest of the Dallas team and Julius Jones and Terry Glenn and the other guys on that offense. And I think it'll be a great game, a divisional matchup. So it's a really important game for both teams. And you look at the other two teams in that division of the New York Giants, the Washington Redskins, also play each other. So we could kind of see that division start to separate a little bit right now, because I got to tell you, all four of those teams seem to be playing really great football, and they just might beat the hell out of each other. You throw in a terrible schedule for the New York Giants, and that division might have a winner with one of the poorer records in football that might just be one of the better teams.
Yeah, and BJ, my bet for next weekend, I just like the spread, Tennessee to cover like that 18 or 19.5 versus Indy.
Yeah, I like him. You know, I think we might see a 30-point spread against Tennessee before the season's done. That team is absolutely garbage. And you look at Albert Haynesworth and then what he did stomping on the guy, ripping his helmet off and stomping on the guy's head. There's obviously a lot of frustration in that locker room. I think that this is probably going to be Jeff Fisher's last year in Tennessee. And, you know, that team is in such a rebuilding stage, and handing the reins over to Vince Young, it's going to be a very long season.
Thanks for doing this, BJ, and here's something to make you want to puke. Michael Heisley today, you remember him?
Yes.
Or yesterday, I should say, sold the Grizzlies 70% of it for $360 million. That's what that guy's getting for 70% of the team.
Thank you. I am going to go throw up.
Thanks, Beach. All right, that's it for the show. Eric Fletcher Head's been waiting very, very patiently as I have gone over by 3 minutes or 4 minutes. How did you let me get away with that? How did you? Anyways, I am sick that I did not get into my baseball report. So next week on Wiener's Barbecue will be an hour and a half of baseball. What do you think? Should I not
do it? I
don't think I'll do it, but I wish I could. An hour, because I didn't get in any today. I did an interview with a guy, didn't even play it. No. Huh? It is bad. All right. Thanks for listening. I'd like to thank my guests, Blake Smeltzer, Mikey Wall, Julio Caravada, BJ Bass, and Cliff Ronning, coming on and talking Canucks with us. Eric, I'm going to play that song that seems to be the only song we'll agree on.
There's probably more, but yeah, good for you.
We'll do it. We'll do it. All right, thanks for listening. Have a great day, everybody. Eric Fletcher Head is coming up right now.
We're caught in a trap. I can't walk out. Can't you see?
Old or New Testament?
I think the New Testament.
The question is, Pilate. You remember Pilate from the New Testament?
Pontius Pilate. He fiddled while...
Yeah, no, well, just a minute. Let me ask the question, then you can give me the answer, okay? Did Pilate want Jesus to be crucified?
Pontius Pilate washed his hands of it.
So did he want him to be crucified?
Yeah.
No. No. No.
Well, tune in every Friday afternoon, 3:30 to the Nod Rush Show on Sunday.
Well, find a good...